week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast presented by Greenspun Media Group. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news straight from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I've got a cool behind-the-scenes interview with the creator of one of the most innovative shows currently running nightly on the Strip, but first, let's do a bit of news. It's still pretty rare when a new concert or show is announced. That just hasn't happened very much over the past few months, but the Venetian is bringing back pop rock legends Chicago for three shows in September at the Venetian Theater. This will actually be the fourth year in a row Chicago has scheduled shows there, and tickets go on sale this Friday, the 29th. The dates are September 15th, 17th, and 18th. Fun fact, Chicago received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award during the pandemic in a special ceremony in October, and the band has been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 5 years now. Just a quick reminder, since I haven't mentioned this on the show in 2021 yet, I write a column every Friday on LasVegasSun.com called Curtain Up. It's all about shows and concerts and the overall Vegas entertainment landscape. And it's a great place to check in for updates like these, new shows with tickets on sale, and all the other happenings up and down the Strip and around the Vegas Valley. So get used to visiting the website every Friday to stay in the know. For a different kind of entertainment, check out the new Museum of Dream Space at the Grand Canal Shops at Venetian. It's located on the north end of the mall, actually on the Palazzo side, and it's basically a multimedia art gallery with different rooms filled with technology and design experiences, called MODS for short. It's also partnering with Las Vegas artists for new exhibits and installations and is currently working with Adam Rella. Go to modsvegas.com for more info. And my guest last week, musician and bandleader David Perico, apparently had so much fun with his Pop Strings Orchestra in their live stream show from the Space last Friday. They're coming back to do it again. There's another Pop Strings show featuring the music of Motown and other soul classics celebrating Black History Month, set for February 26th, so mark your calendar for that one. Tape Face has been one of my favorite Vegas shows since it arrived on the Strip, first at the Flamingo in 2017 and then settling into its own room, the House of Tape, at Harrah's in the spring of 2018. You may have seen this act from one of several performances on America's Got Talent, but if you're not familiar, it's not super easy to describe. It's part street performance, part mime, a whole lot of comedy, a little Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin stuff, and a whole lot of Tim Burton's influence. And it's incredibly fun and kind of heartwarming. And the most impressive part is that the star of the show, really the only person on stage, never says a word. That performer, Sam Wills, made some big, big changes to the show when it reopened in the fall. Some of the Tape Face crew members became part of the act, and he started opening the show with a conversation with the audience, a new way to connect and sort out, you know, theatrical expectations during a pandemic-restricted performance. The show continues at Harrah's Showroom right now, and Sam Wills joined me recently to talk all about what it's like to hit the stage on the Strip these days. Warning, a few naughty words are headed your way. Here's my chat with Sam Wills, a.k.a. Tape Face. Yeah, you reopened in the first part of November. You moved from the House of Tape to the larger Harrah's Showroom. So first of all, what was that initial adjustment period like? Because you had to overhaul and really retrofit the show for this bigger space.
We did. We essentially, well, the first hurdle that we had to overcome was that 25-foot rule with the audience being 25 feet away from the performers at all times. So for me, I had to get rid of that. So it was that building of that fake audience that we dropped in there, which was really good. So that was, I ordered 1,000 polystyrene heads and 1,000 wigs. And then we got the cast and crew and friends to go, right, who can donate a T-shirt? And then we found a Goodwill shop that we had to send one of the guys to go rummaging through gigantic, gross bins of clothing that had to be cleaned and washed and then chucked on the dummies to build our audience. So that was our first kind of hurdle. And then reformatting the show, we were also working at the initial time we started, they still had the set from a bit of the Bronx Wanderers and Heartbreak Hotel, I think, was left over on the stage up there. So we were just using that because it was there. And then it was a thing of going, why are we using this huge set thing? Let's get rid of this because it doesn't sit in line with the show. So then we started really refining it down and going, right, what's helping us? What's holding us back? Where can we improve? What can we speed up? What can we cut?
How does the audience react when they first walk into the showroom and they see those extras that you have sitting in those first few rows?
The dummies are pretty funny. They do freak. That people are good because we've evolved the show even more so to that we've become really relaxed. I'll tell you more about it. We do the meet and greet thing before I do the tape face stuff now, but it's advanced even more so that I'm on stage hanging out from the moment the audience come in now. And we just hang out and we just chat, and then the other cast members come in slowly but surely, and I get, it's a chance for me to kind of host it myself and introduce the other characters. But then I get a chance to make, you know, to tell people, yeah, it's different. COVID's different now. It's only 50 people, and I literally count off people. I find out where people are from and do the basic kind of hosting and whatnot. But it's a chance where I can get a feel for what the audience are going to be like, and it also sneakily gives me a chance to subliminally program a few people to behave certain ways that I know will help make the show go better. Everything serves a purpose.
Yes. What's it like for you to, you know, after you've been doing this show, this act for years now, performing silently for you know, more than an hour? How does it feel to be able to have that conversation with your audience and connect?
It's so much fun. It's way too much fun, to the point that my stage manager occasionally has to tell me to tighten things up and stop talking. And I get flashes, my flashing lights at the back of my get off stage moments, because I end up having too much fun chatting away and talking to the audience and enjoying the conversation. But I have to remember that they have come there to see me not talk. But I'm enjoying it. It's really nice to have a voice again to play around and refine that sort of style of the storytelling. And it's also fun for me to be able to really explain a lot of the backstory in a fun way to the audience, you know, in those shows. You know, on AGT, I never spoke. Nobody knew the backstory of Tape Face or where he came from or anything like that. So it's kind of nice to be able to go on small audiences, go, here's the history of the character. Here's the reasons why I do the things I do, you know.
Yeah, you're a real person again.
Yeah, it's weird to become a real person, really connect with that audience, and then subvert it by just gaffer taping up and then coming out and being the weird oddity that they want. And then that weird oddity is exactly, you know, the fun bit.
Once that more familiar, I guess, part of the show kicks off, it's very different from what it was before, right? You've got people that are kind of doing stuff behind the scenes that are now out there, part of the show.
Absolutely. It's cool for me to have a cast, to play with people on stage. Like I've been very much a solo performer for so many years. I enjoy the control of, like, I use the audience members, but I'm using them as props, essentially, to come and play my games. Whereas with this situation, we've got a chance to really script and play things. So, for example, Rob Ferries, he's the second Tape Face character that we have. And obviously there's not enough work for one Tape Face at the moment, so I'm doing all the Tape Facing. So we kept him on, and he's created a new character, Harry Harris, the owner of Harris Hotel. And so he plays this old man who sits off to the side of stage. What's really fun about him is that he's almost like the narrative thought, the train of thought that I genuinely will sometimes have when I'm performing, because Rob's actually done the role before, so he knows some of the things I'm thinking of going through the motions of the shows, so he can vocalise it, which can become really, really funny. It also means that when I'm doing routines with him, because we know the outcome, we can then take it further than I've never been able to take it with a volunteer. So it's things like the two puppets that dance very closely, sexual puppets together, we take that and we really run with it to the point that he gets overly enthusiastic and it becomes a bit of a problem. But it's fun like that. I enjoy these moments and just it takes a lot of the pressure off me, to be honest.
Yeah. It sounds like it maybe adds a new dimension to the actual character of Tape Face too, because you're interacting with more people.
Oh, yeah.
Interacting in
the
different way.
The vibe we're really trying to channel is always going to be the Muppet Show. Like, if we can ever get that feeling of like that chaos of their shows, but it's not so much like the packaged product that you get, but actually the Muppet Show that they were delivering. That's what we're aiming for. We don't want to be the, we're not the television show. We're the real content. We're the theatre. So that's the chaos that we're trying to come for. That, you know, we have our gonzo. We have our weird characters who commentate throughout the thing. We, you know, we play in that world.
Every Vegas show that has reopened during this thing has had to make adjustments, different venues. Obviously, that's just the start of it. There's a lot of different changes. I think maybe your show has changed the most, though. Like, right? I mean, this is a lot of change.
How much the backbone of my act out, which is audience participation. It's like that's the bones of it. And so you take all of these jokes and you go, right, all of those go away. I've got puppets and I've got some other jokes that we can do. We're using the cast. But even some of them, we're still trying to figure out what's funny about. Like, for example, I'm using, I do the tape measures joke. I extend a tape measure. Who's got the biggest tape measure? That's the gag, da da da. When as an audience member, it's beautiful because you've got that real natural, spontaneous, oh, I'm being a part of a joke and I'm in on it. When I'm doing it with a cast member, it still gets a chuckle, but it's not as funny. And so it becomes now about how do I make that, what's the tipping point to make it overly funny? How do I extend on the joke? What would the volunteer do to that? What can I do now that I can never do with a volunteer? I think that's the thing that I'm trying to evolve into. I suppose that's what normal shows do. They just write it. They go, they do that. Whereas for me, I go the roundabout way where I want to do every option with a volunteer first and then take it further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like it would be... I mean, you have your own style, that's for sure. You don't do things the way that other shows do. So. But it seems like it would be a little bit daunting and maybe scary to just work from this approach of, you know, you have all these weird circumstances to deal with. You're going to play with your format, play with your material, and just try out new stuff. And I'm sure that's a lot of fun as a creative person, but kind of there's risk there too, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of times I get a bit of grief from the other cast members where they're like, why are we changing drastic cuts and moving things around? And it's like, I can turn up one night and go, oh, okay, we're going to change it and move this person out and shuffle this person in and shuffle formats. For me, it's I've always referred to it as putting on the jacket. It's just like you put on the jacket and go out there and try it out and see how it works. And so there's I will always guarantee that the show quality will be fine and consistent, but there could always be one or two moments where we'll be literally putting on a jacket and trying out a weird moment. I've got no problems with that. I think that's just because I come from that street performer background where it's just like, just go and do it. Just do it once and see how it goes. Also, the other thing is that a street performing saying, which is your first 100 shows don't count kind of thing. So since I've spoken to you from November, we've done roughly 100 shows, so we can start counting now. We can start thinking about, all right, we're getting okay at this.
Before all this crazy pandemic stuff, you were pretty deep into expanding your show, expanding the Tape Face brand, I guess.
We were on 3 continents right before this.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, we had our 3rd Tape Face. We had number 3 involved. We've actually had to let him go, which was a real downer. Steve was on point. We signed Steve up to be a host of a Cirque du Soleil style show in Australia. And so he was over there. And then we had Rob here, and I was based in, where was I? I was in Holland at the time. Yeah. 3 continents who are smashing it. But now we're back to just small and just waiting to see what happens and passes and then try and rebuild from there.
Yeah. That was a pretty challenging endeavor in itself before you had to deal with all this, right? Talk about risk. That's pretty tough.
Yeah. It was a big one. It was always part of the plan though for me. So it wasn't really, it wasn't new information. So it was kind of fine for me to just keep on moving with it. But yeah, it was a definitely huge expansion. We upgraded Tape Face from 2016 from America's Got Talent to 2020 pretty solidly. It was moving pretty fast and on track. And then stupid COVID happened.
When you were doing that, you had these multiple shows going at the same time. Were there some maybe some obstacles or challenges with that you didn't know would happen that you had to adjust to? Specifically, like the audience reaction to another person playing Tape Face, that kind.
Oh yeah, I think there's always the people who are going to be like, "That's not the guy from America's Got Talent." But for me, it was always the case of as long as the material can hold its own and the content can defend itself, then it will be fine and fairly bulletproof. You know, if Rob was shit, then fair enough, come at me. But the fact that I know in Vegas have seen the show when Rob was performing and spoke to me directly afterwards thinking it was me. So it's like, I know that it works to that level as well. And I know there are super fans out there. Like, we've got some fans who, like, I've got fans who have seen all three tape faces and all different comparisons. And like, those people who I connect with, I then make a thing of going, they can get free tickets to see shows, and they become sort of like my secret reviewers, secret shoppers of sorts. And their job is to make sure that, you know, the quality still maintains the same. It was back then anyway. But now, with it just being me doing the tape face, it's a lot easier. Although we're taking advantage of this time to teach Rob now my full back catalogue of tape face material, rather than him just knowing one show. It's going to be easier to arm him with the whole lot. So I'm essentially cloning it further.
You've figured it out, how to clone yourself.
Yeah, master plan. Life finds a way.
If you could, you know, if we could magically flip a switch and you are back to a packed house audience next week, everybody's safe and happy, would you revert back to the previous version of the show, or do you think this show is forever changed now?
No, 100%. We'll go back to the show. This is very much a COVID show. This is we have taken these conditions and made a bespoke item for this. I don't think anyone wants to be doing these shows under these conditions. I think anyone who says that they're doing a show and having a great time is a fucking liar. Because this is not the ideal conditions for performing. It's like, we're doing, like, performers, a lot of performers, their shows are open so people can pay their rent and do that sort of thing. So I understand, yeah, that's a reason to work. But from a creative point of view, it's like a creative corner. You know, you're backed into this situation, make something out of it, otherwise sit in the corner and wait. And so you can either do one or the other, really.
Yeah. And yeah, at the same time, I'm sure there's going to be some things that you've installed or just some bits that you've played with that are going to end up in the show somehow, or influence what you do in the future.
I think because we've been forced into the situation where I have had to use the other guys who have been behind the scenes a wee bit, they've now come onto the stage. I think we might take some of that back to the house of tape with small elements of play, or it will be a case of, do we have to reformat a whole new show because the conditions will change? Do we have to have a whole new year of another Frankenstein hybrid show before we can go back to packed houses with no social distancing and normal, and so to speak? You know, it could be some time, you know, and then just when people come back, they might not be up for audience participation. I used to have such an easy job. I would point at somebody, click my fingers, go like that, and they would just come up straight away, and that was that. Whereas now, I think I could be faced with a bit more, no. It sucks. So for me, maybe it's a case of riding it out with a bit more of a Frankenstein show. It's weird. I think if things are up and if everything's back and normal, no social distancing, everyone's fine, no COVID's gone, so to speak, then I'd love to be doing the balloon show. Just, you know, because even the idea of handing out a balloon to an audience member to blow up, that freaks people out now.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Huge health and safety. That's a cesspit.
Well, the last time we talked, you had a lot more downtime on your hands and you had been mastering some video games. I know you've been busier now, but is your offstage routine, how's that going?
My offstage routine is currently a Stormtrooper Lego helmet. So that's my life. I put that next to my Las Vegas Strip Lego. So yeah, I think I'm getting into Lego at the moment. I find Lego has become my new meditation of sorts, because it's so frustrating that when you're doing it, you can't think of anything else. So it's a really mindful activity to do, to go, I need to do some Lego to just stop my brain thinking. So yeah, that's what I'm at.
It's a tiny plastic brick wall of being
productive. Rage. Horrible. I hate it. I looked at this Stormtrooper one I've had since March. I've just been looking at it, and I've only just in the last sort of week gone, fuck it, I'll do it, fine. But yeah, the other ones have been just, yeah, they're good. They're good fun.
So what else do you want to say to your audience as they...
See, audience, just come along and experience what it is. I think, if anything, it's going to be a bit different. It's not going to be as normal. People who are expecting Vegas to just magically be what it is just as crazy. But under the conditions, Vegas can be enjoyable. Just wash your hands.
Okay, it's time for my show picks. this week, I'm going to start with a quick trip off the strip. Serena Henry, a phenomenal singer who's toured with Gladys Knight and performed on the strip with Donny and Marie Osmond, Justin Timberlake, and many more, is performing a show of her own at the Vegas Room on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Get your tickets for these dinner shows at thevegasroom.com. The comedy is rolling right along at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana with two stand-up shows at 8:30 and 10:30 Thursday through Sunday. This weekend, there's John Wesley Austin and Shema Tash with Geechee Guy as your host. TropLV.com is the place to get your tickets. And if you want some magic with your jokes, head to the Flamingo to catch Piff the Magic Dragon. He just returned to the stage at the Flamingo Showroom last week, and his whole magical gang performs twice nightly, except Tuesdays, at 5 and 8 p.m. Tickets are waiting at FlamingoLasVegas.com, and you can catch Piff online as well. Find his virtual show schedule at PiffTheMagicDragon.com. I think he's going to be doing the Zoom thing again on February 6th. That's a wrap for this week's show. Remember, you can find past episodes of The Sun on the Strip at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Or you can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to Sam Wills for joining me this week. Go see the Tape Face Show when you can. Get your tickets at HarrisLasVegas.com. And thank you for listening. Come back next week. Take care.